Welcome to this podcast from St. James Scottish Episcopal Church in Leith. This is a 25-minute edit of our Sunday morning communion service. For more information, please visit our website, www.stjamesleith.org.uk. God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
The reading is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Oh. Holy Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12.
Glory to Christ, our Saviour.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observe his star is rising. We have come to pay homage to him." When Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophets. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and seek diligently for the child, for when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they stopped. They were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opened their treasure chests. They offered him gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned by Herod in a dream not to return, they left for their own country by another road. Give thanks to the Lord for his glorious gospel. Praise to Christ our Lord.
Well, I have to gather my thoughts this morning because I've been working quite hard to be on holiday for a few days. And so effective has this been that I haven't read any serious commentators, as you get at this time of year, reviewing the state of things, the state of the world, and anticipating the year ahead. But I'm guessing that few have been able to come up with gleeful enthusiasm about what potentially lies before us this year, and the snippet of news that I heard this morning was quite hard to feel good about. The ancient Christian feast of the Epiphany coincides with the start of the calendar year and offers us the gift this morning. It offers us the gift of its hopeful themes of God's light rising upon us like the dawn itself, of revelatory stargazing, of divine intervention, of courage, of imagination, all qualities of experience that we would gladly embrace in the months ahead if we were able to, if we were given the chance. At this New Year feast of the Epiphany, we've come down to earth, as it were, after our minds have been resonating with stories of dreams, of angels, of journeys, of birth, of the mind-bending cosmology of the incarnation, and all of the feasting or holidaying we might have been lucky enough to enjoy. As we note about Epiphany at the start of the sheet, it was introduced into the Western Church in the 4th century, where it quickly became the feast of the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles. So that was a particular slant or point of this festival. The Gentile world, we have to keep reminding ourselves what a big deal this was, that this faith was for all peoples. And the Gentiles are embodied in the figures of the Magi. That's who they represent, the three wise people. The stargazers, they were assumed to be the first non-Jewish believers. And we don't really know where they came from, who they might have been. And there's this great story about them being warned in a dream to avoid Herod, and having paid homage to the Christ child, they go home by a different way. What can we glean about these characters to help us on our New Year journey? More precise description might be that they belonged to some sort of priestly caste of Zoroastrianism, which paid particular attention to the stars. And this priestly caste gained an international reputation for astrology, which at the time was regarded as science, if you like. So these people from the East were scientists who practiced other religions. And God chooses them and their faith and their knowledge to bring them to the Christ. And with more irony, God uses scientists who practiced other religions to let King Herod and the chief priests and the scribes know of the news that the Messiah had been born. So it's quite a sort of colourful little choice of characters in this story that's loaded, it's very loaded for those who would have read it and understood the context. For us, whatever our personal context just now, at the turn of this year, perhaps reeling from the events of the last year, perhaps at best ambivalent, or at worst anxious about the year ahead, we are at least reminded that there is much to be gained by being stargazers in every sort of sense, literal and metaphorical. And literal and metaphorical senses of being stargazers aren't necessarily at odds with each other. When we humble ourselves to look up at the stars, we can only be thoughtful people. R.S. Thomas has a poem about this. He says, night after night. I once went to hear R.S. Thomas read when he was still alive. And I'm really glad I witnessed this. He's quite a character. He shuffled on and didn't look up and say hello or anything, and just sort of mumbled into the microphone in a monotone. So I'll try and do it in a monotone. He said, night after night, I point my hands at the sky, a launching pad for my prayers to take off for their orbiting in immense space. What listener is this who is always awake and says nothing? His breathing is the rising and falling of oceans on remote stars. Just I read like that for about an hour. The fear and wonder of this life, the cosmos and our place in it, is the stuff of spirituality. The spinning plates of our personal experience of the divine touch on our lives and what we have seen and felt have somehow to be kept spinning in a world where the touch of humanity across the world is so progressively destructive. Our dilemma is real. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience, says Thiers de Chardin. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. That's a dilemma for us. An epiphany makes us have cosmic thoughts. Like Christ, in every moment, we must choose whether we live fearfully or wonderfully. Our purpose in life is simply to be in the presence of God's loving kindness wherever we are, as Christ was. All of us have been damaged in some way by what the world throws at us, and that creates fear. This is the challenge of journeying with Christ towards seeing as God sees. Only then will we be able to see through the terrors of our embodiment and see the sacred movement of God's self through human experience. This is the way we grow up into the head, into the source, the cosmic Christ, the light that enlightens everyone. who was born into the world, as John's prologue puts it, and we read at Christmas time. This is how we learn to live like Christ at the intersection of timelessness and time. Learning to live, that's the nature of our Christian calling. Learning to live. What can we glean from the story about this learning to live? I wanted to offer two suggestions this morning. Firstly, that our learning to live, God's revealing of Christ in our lives, can be nurtured in experience and from people that probably aren't religious experience or religious people. Through children, through neighbors, through illness, through changes, through journalists, through novelists, through poets, through artists, through statisticians, through linguists, through serving, through what is menial and unglamorous, through commitment. Just yesterday, I remembered a moment 35 years ago in a class seminar when I was at theological college. And there was a student who was an ex-offender who had previously been in prison for a long time, and who, when we were discussing commitment and covenant, I think, told the story of a prison chaplain, and I think it might have been this guy's own story, I can't really remember, but and there's a story of this prison chaplain who was asked to visit a violent prisoner in solitary confinement. When the chaplain entered the room for the first time, the man turned his back on him and refused to say a word. So the chaplain returned the next day, and the same thing happened. The man turned his back on him, didn't say a word. And the same thing happened the next day. And the same thing happened the next day. And on the next day. On the sixth day, the chaplain was working elsewhere or wasn't working and wasn't able to come. And when he entered the room on the seventh day, the man spun round and said, "Where were you yesterday?" Looking ahead, some of us might even feel gloomy about the failures of a compromised church. The Gospel of Matthew reminds us that the Christ child was revealed to some who were thought to be on the outside. And the Christ child, paradoxically, was rejected by many who were thought to be on the inside. The church's observance of Epiphany shouldn't be a triumphal occasion for those who have seen the light to celebrate their privileged status. The readings appointed for today encourage humble admission that God's glory may be manifested where we least expect it. That was the first thought. The second one is, in our learning to live, epiphanies come to us in all shapes and sizes. Angels, stars, babies, dreams, and wisdom. In the words of friends, in the words of strangers, they come in all sorts of moments, ordinary, simple, humble moments, sometimes unexpected, sometimes bright. They come to show us how we might be changed deeply. They come to show us another road. And we shouldn't be afraid of being waylaid. We should pause at that moments of epiphany. We should have the courage to take the other road with hope as God shapes a bright new reality in us. And then in a challenging world, we might discover a new vision of who God is and find cultivated in us a radical gratitude that manifests itself in many ways. The gifts brought by the Magi are particularly poignant, and they invite us to consider, what will you bring to the Christ child? Our relative wealth, our relative ability to do a new thing that no one else can do, our strength of character, maybe, to resist an unjust official on someone else's behalf, our time to accompany someone on a lonely road in their life. As God manifests God's self to us in new ways this season, we can bring our own gifts that express what God's coming into this world means to us. Whether it is gold or other treasures, or a simple shepherd's prayer, whether it is a broken and hungry heart or eager hands and feet, whether it is bread and a meal shared together, or a song lifted up, these may all be a genuine response to the gift of life to all of us in Jesus, God's Son. Here, each week in the year ahead, as in the past, we gather around the Word. We take the bread in our hands, it becomes broken pieces, the body of Christ. We share it, and it becomes our flesh. We offer up our hearts and pray over broken places. We share the peace of the Christ child with one another. And this is Epiphany. Jesus is born, lives, dies, and is risen. And we gather each week so that, like those three wise stargazers, we might go home by a different way.